have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, back with Matt Frischa from Transworld LaGrange. Matt, how was part one on your end?
It was good. Time flies actually when you're having such a good conversation. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I got a lot out of it. I took a lot of notes. I generally know what we're going to talk about anyway because I have an idea and I have my notes and I have my topics. And you surprised me with some things that I really enjoyed and I loved it. For people tuning in, make sure to check out part one. Matt's information will be in the show notes, his link, the bio. If you want to know kind of the basis of what we're about to jump into, please check that out. But Matt, like I said, in the end of part one, normally we talk about the deal that got away in the main episode, but we were having such a great time. I was like, I don't want to jump into that. I don't want to rush anything, but let's talk about it now. Cause this is always interesting. It's the lessons of the lost deal, which is, you know, kind of, and of course you've 6 years plus a team of people. So you probably unfortunately have plenty of these. Is, you know, what deal didn't happen that should have happened or didn't happen the way it should have happened? And, you know, what was the lesson you took from it as a cautionary tale for brokers, for sellers, for buyers, for everybody in the, you know, in the transactional process?
Yeah. So the one that comes to mind, I think that we talked about prior was there was a pretty large, it was early on. I think it was only in year like 1.5, almost 2 years. And it was pretty sizable. It's pretty sizable for us, actually. And there were multiple layers here, because to your point, it was larger deals. So each side had, you know, multiple attorneys and then different accountants that were larger accountants that could go back and forth. And what I realized, because we literally got to like 24 hours before closing, and, you know, wires are being sent along to like, where's the money going to go? And they like canceled the whole deal, like 24, less than 24 hours prior to close. And it was just like, you just wanted to curl up in a ball in the corner and, you know, and to like just wait a couple of minutes, you know, based on what's happening here. Because again, for us, we were like, you know, wow, like almost like, is this happening? Is this for real? And we did. It was multiple months that were tied into it. The lesson that we found out was when there's that many people involved, there are multiple layers of approval for every single part, right? So if somebody is backed by private equity or backed by people that are providing them money, there's kind of three layers of due diligence, right? I mean, there's one layer specifically of the seller themselves, the buyer themselves, that's like, yes, I saw this, I like it, our team likes it, we like the deal, you like the deal, we did our due diligence, we feel pretty good about this. This seems like a slam dunk to, you know, make this happen. Great. Then there's a whole other set of backers that actually have the money that want to do their due diligence, right, to make sure that this checks boxes. So they start that process potentially after your seller has maybe given you a green light and said, hey, we really like it. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes going on with that, right? You just know like what you know because you're having conversations. So in this case, people are flying in. We're having, you know, breakfast or lunch, and lots of great handshakes about what's happening here. Little did we know that there's a whole other layer of happening there of folks that are doing their own due diligence that ties in with it. And the only other third part I would say, are there other business partners that are tied to that, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be private equity, but whatever, backed by whoever the money person is that's tied in with that. So they just could not get comfortable with some certain aspects of the deal and didn't say it out loud until we were basically like there. And what also it taught me as well is that when people say, you know, again, there are certain types of brokers, the M&A advisors or however you want to say, maybe they're not business brokers, but they're kind of labeled differently. They only do a small amount of deals every year, but they're much larger deals, right? They're marketing themselves differently. They're not doing Main Street deals. But if they're only doing a handful of deals, if one of those deals doesn't happen or multiple deals don't happen, like that's like you either made some money that year or no money that year, right? So that's the part of, I think we learned very quickly where we're like, wait a minute. Like, I'd rather have multiple things going on at once to have multiple opportunities to be making money. And there's a saying, like, I don't think it's like a trans world thing per se, but like, it's like the small deals pay the bills, the big deals pay the thrills, right? So like if you score a big one, great, but those don't come every day. So like we're kind of grinding, you know, sometimes down here sometimes. And I think we're fine with that. I think we're okay with that because it just hedges our bet on what actually is going to close. Now we're floating up more like upstream, so to speak. And certainly we are doing larger deals as every month, every year goes by. And that's what we certainly want to do. But it's the whole kit and caboodle here that you're kind of, you know, that whole pot of what's in the pot that's actually closing, that I think is important, at least what we've personally experienced and what we're okay with in this office.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because, you know, thinking about the last part that you were saying is, you know, if someone's just going for the big deals, it's like, let's say, you know, baseball, where that person is just known for swinging for the fences to hit home runs. But generally what happens is they swing so hard and they're so focused on home runs that they generally miss a lot, right? Like you look like a Babe Ruth hitting percentage and it's not good. Like he's known for what he's known for, but like, you know, home run hitters are generally just so specialized that when it works, it's great. When it doesn't work, it's terrible and embarrassing, right? Because they're just swinging for the fences.
Exactly.
But the thing is that if you're trying to just do that, that's okay if you can survive that. And I think, you know, what you're talking about is great, which is like, let's hit some singles, let's hit some doubles, let's get on base, let's get some things done. There's a home run, a grand slam that we can hit. That's fantastic. But like, let's just win, you know, with one on base at a time. And especially if you have a team dynamic, it's like, okay, who can handle which ones and how do we structure?
Right.
How do we just make sure we're just always winning and always moving forward and closing deals? And it also comes down to systems. The ones that I see that are the home run hitting brokers, they don't have good systems to handle volume. So they've got to do less transactions because they're kind of physically managing each one, right? Very hands-on instead of like with a system and a process, and you're a system process builder on top of, you know, what Transworld gave you. So
sure.
I'm sure it's easier for you.
And we try. We try very hard.
If you're listening to this and thinking, I want this level of authority, I just don't have the time to build it, that's exactly what Business Broker Growth does for you. Most brokers know that they need consistent content, better positioning, and real digital visibility. They just don't have the bandwidth to create it or the systems to keep it going. And that's what we build for you. The content engine, the visibility strategy, and authority signals, everything you need that we've talked about here. So if you want this impact without adding another full-time job to your plate, go to businessbrokergrowth.com to learn more about what it would look like for your business. Now back to the episode.
Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing that deal. Like, you know, and that's gotta be tough, that like, you know, you're at the altar and the person says they changed their mind. Like, where was this the whole time? Like, why are we doing this now? And that's gotta be frustrating, but I appreciate you sharing that and the lessons from it. And it's tough when you get those more complicated deals where there's just so many more stakeholders involved and everyone's gotta be on board and everyone's gotta agree. Most salespeople don't go through all the effort of making sure everyone's at the table and agreeing on, you know, let's say the buyer side of a transaction. You know, those complicated deals. So I appreciate you sharing. Now let's shift to some of the after show questions here. So you've been doing this for 6 years. If we think about 5 years from now, which is now 2031, and you think of what you've gone through to now, and then let's add another 5 years, what do you think business brokers are going to have to do to survive in 2031?
Yeah, I think the specialty of which they bring to the table is going to have to get better. It's going to have to be more targeted. And I think people that do deals on a regular basis that can speak to that are going to have the most I mean, general knowledge about different things that can happen, you know, that can go wrong, right, with some of that stuff. Because you can, I see it now. People, oh, I don't worry, I know what my business is worth. I chat GPT that I know exactly what my business is worth. It's like, well, that's fair, but maybe we didn't see all the actual, you know, financials the way you're seeing them. Or my accountant told me, or my attorney told me, or all these other things that are tied in with it, right? So I think the knowledge base, whether it is specific to an industry or not, is going to be really important. And I think the person that makes that process, it's not even so much easier, but is helping walk through that process a bit better, you know, because people at the end of the day, if this is the biggest, most important thing they're going to do outside of, you know, buying a home or having children or whatever it is that's really important in your life, that this is huge, right? A lot of people's value is locked up in their business, right? So you're kind of unlocking that to get it across the finish line. So if you're able to be that better touch point of like what that process is like, be able to explain that and be able to provide a pleasant experience for somebody, I think that's where this is will always go. Today, now, and in the future, the tools will get better and better. The analysis will get better and better. And I also think that, like to your point, like that whole business brokerage will maybe be like Kleenex. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know exactly what this is. I understand. I mean, we still have people that say, I didn't even know you guys exist, right? That this is an option for me. Hopefully that'll just get to be more like people. I know sometimes they say, well, you know, gosh, we have so many people now entering this field. And it's like, well, good. Cause that means like more people are, you know, they're more deals are happening, you know, like we're more volume is happening, you know? And I think that's important as well.
Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up, they scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts. And in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in four ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
There more deals are happening, you know, like we're more volume is happening, you know, and I think that's important as well.
Yeah, considering the generally accepted stat of how few businesses actually sell successfully, you know, I think definitely more brokers, and I appreciate what you said, which is more people getting into the brokerage space should also help with awareness and help with that, you know, general problem of education and awareness of, you know, business owners don't know what they don't know, so they don't even know it exists. And if they do, they think it's, you know, like a realtor type mode where it's just basic and, you know, it's a simple transaction, something like that. And that's fascinating to think about the experience side that you were talking about, because I think,
well, I think about like question, somebody at the club sold their business, right? And they're, oh, you know, mm-hmm. Steve, man, I heard he got a lot of money out of that thing. It's like, you don't really know what happened in that transaction, you know? So, but they hear like you're reading that, you know, all you see is these super large transactions. So you feel right. Where do you fall into that, you know, that atmosphere or that sphere of what is happening there is really tough to understand, I think, for most people.
Yeah. And that goes into the headline sales of the sexy businesses or the big headlines that get people's attentions versus, you know, what most businesses will go through an experience. And this is why I appreciate what you said about the experience piece, because, you know, and the next question is about technology, but when we peel away the technology, it's going to be left as the experience of what that seller needs help with and the walkthrough and the expectations, which you've mentioned several times, versus, you know, the role of the broker beyond the valuation, beyond the tech pieces. So, you know, when we shift into that, what's the biggest tech shift that you see in M&A? Right now?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of valuations. You know, like valuations are quicker, faster. People are getting more data points that are tied to that. And hopefully that'll continue to get better. I also think the just the experience of like when people come through the door, right? Where how you're able to share video more, or you're kind of almost like your avatar that's like, you know, hey, you've come in, you're about to sign an NDA. What does an NDA mean? Why am I signing an NDA? Right. Then Then you get through the NDA. Then it's like, you're about to see a sim. Well, what's a sim? You know, like, I think the the being able to understand the process better for all those tools that are able to assist in that process, right? And in the other part where the one thing that we're using right now, what I love, there's the CRM that we use has a buyer agent deal assessor, so to speak, right? Where it's like, it's pulling their LinkedIn profile. It's pulling all this information in there to be like, I don't know if this is really an appropriate buyer for this business, right? And it's giving you a paragraph to say like, this is what we think about this particular buyer, right? So
yeah.
I think that's amazing because at least it kicks it up to another notch. And it says right in there, we feel this is appropriate for the broker to look at further, or it just gives you a big X and just says, this person is the right person for it. Now, I'm reading every one of those anyway, because maybe there's something we might have missed in there. But I think that's really interesting at this point.
Well, and what's fascinating about that, not that this is the point of this section where we're talking about, but you know, that tool that you're using, which is the buyer profile, and like, what does the CRM think about them, you know, based on the data, is using available online data, I'm guessing, right? Like, it's not just what they submitted, but it's also what they can find.
Correct.
As kind of a digital background check. And so it goes to the point, just for everyone to think about, is what does the online landscape say about you, right? Like, you know, I love this saying, you are who Google says you are. And so like that goes for these buyers, that goes for everybody. It's like, you know, I see a lot of people who they got one thing on their LinkedIn profile. They've been doing the same thing for a long time. They haven't done anything else. And that used to be okay. I think in this age, people expect more. They want to be able to search and feel good about somebody they're going to work with. And so it's fascinating to think about that from the buyer side, where the buyer's thinking, it's okay. It's, you know, this is my Hotmail email address, and I don't have much online. It's like, okay, but
yeah,
how is it going to be received? You know,
the people that are still rocking the AOL, I love that. I get a kick out of that every time. You know,
when you see an email or a message all in caps, it's usually still going to be an AOL person. Like if that is I remember way back in the day seeing that. I worked at Microsoft doing tech support, and it was funny. It was a long time ago. And you just knew instantly if you saw a tech support case or something come over that was all caps. You just knew it was AOL. It's just funny. That was a long time ago. All right, so let's talk about last year, 2025. What was the biggest lesson that you took from that?
Yes, I think the biggest lesson when I looked at it was the. Again, there was the variety of things that are out there, I think, is really important. And that still was great. I think that still holds true. I think also getting better and quicker at those categories where you've done multiple transactions in is helping, right? So like you have more examples, you have the buyer pool just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because basically what's happening is, you know, only one person buys that business, right? But that pool of those, you know, buying a plumbing business buyers gets bigger. So obviously your law of averages of just finding the right buyers is better, being able to justify that a little bit more. And also to this day, another example happened last year where it was, we just burned up a lot of time with a buyer and we found out at the end that even though they say they're a cash buyer and they had the money, it's not about having the money or not having the money. It's like, that doesn't mean it's quicker. That doesn't mean it goes any faster. It means probably there's more due diligence that's involved in that person versus the guy who's getting an SBA loan that is, you know, helping with, So that I would say is another one where it's just like the whole, I have money is one small portion of the whole thing. I mean, yes, you have to have the money, and yes, we need to have proof of funds and we need to do all that stuff that's tied in with it. But there's just so many other nuances of like, who's going to succeed to actually get across the finish line. So I just feel there was some more time wasting happening, you know, that I feel like we're getting better at cutting that down as much as we can.
Got it. And then what about this year? So we're obviously a few months in. It's April when we're recording this, 2026. But what are you excited most about this year?
I think that the quality of listings that we have, I think we're excited about that, you know, that's tied in with it. And I also think that we kind of were talking before we started chatting today, but there's a little bit of a tidal wave that we had in March, because that was the government was shut down, you know, earlier last year, right? So then all these things kind of moved into 2026. Then they all kind of started falling, you know, in a good way, but at the same time, which it's hard to control that, but it's definitely a problem I'll accept at any time.
Yeah, definitely makes it a bunch of deals that happen. Everything's coming to a head at the same time. And then there's this sigh of relief. And then there's like, okay, where's the next deals? Where's more listings? How's the machine running? Do we have all that? Well, I appreciate you being on the show again, Matt, and giving us so much extra time here in the after show. Again, your links will be in the show notes. Tell everyone what's the best place to go to again for you.
If you just go to tworld, so tisintomworld.com/LaGrange, that's our page specifically for our office, our 70 plus listings that you can take a look at anytime. On there, there's, you know, I say that, like, you're never going to remember a phone number, but you'll remember a website, and then a very simple email address is just lagrange@tworld.com. So the town of LaGrange, LAGRANGE, @tisintomworld.com. It's pretty easy. All those emails come to me.
And it's funny you say that about phone numbers, because unless it's a catchy phone number that you hear multiple times, it's not like it used to be, where, you know, guys like you and I may remember a time when, yo, you only had phone numbers and you either remembered it or you wrote it down, and then you did it enough times you remember, like, you know, remembering my home phone number from when I was a kid still. Like, that's, you're just locked into your brain. So yeah, it's funny how things change and evolve. But please, people tuning in, make sure to check out Matt's site, get in touch with him. If you're not sure why, check out part one. We talked a lot about it, a lot of value and things that Matt's focused on doing. Again, Matt, thank you for being here and sharing so much with the Business Broker Growth Show audience.
Super honored to be a guest. Thank you so much.
And for everyone tuning in, make sure to check out part one. Make sure to check out Matt's info in the show notes. Connect with him on LinkedIn. Check out his YouTube channel. We're super excited to have really great brokers like Matt on the show, sharing all this, giving us all his time. You hear his phone ringing all the time. I made him late for a meeting he's got to go to. Just getting extra value, extra things from him to help grow your pipeline, to grow your business. Maybe you're a seller, maybe you're a buyer. You want to learn more about this. Hopefully this was valuable. And until next time, stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.